Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it's news shoe time. Welcome back, everybody. Joining me, as always, is the, as of yet, gainfully unemployed Winter Soldier, Benjamin Orr.
Hello, hello.
We came up with a new name for you last week, but it was more for me than you, so that's why I didn't use it. Because no one steals my poop-picking up job.
Well, the thing is, now I'm fighting against allergies, so that's my new job.
It's funny that you bring that up. I, too, am suffering from allergies. If you can hear some oddness in my voice this week, that is because my whatever the nodes are in your throat, it's not my tonsils. My wife looked. It's the adenoids, maybe. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. The what?
Lymph nodes?
Maybe. Sure. They're a little swollen today, and they're causing me some aggravation. So if my voice sounds weird or if I am a little more squeaky than usual, I sincerely apologize in advance.
Well, part of my job as somebody who fights allergies now, since I can't do the Winter Soldier job anymore, I will try to do my best to make sure that millions of Americans will not have to face this problem. Coming up in summer, I will also be fighting against sunburns, so that'll be interesting.
Well, you've got a full slate. Here, I thought you were just sitting at home eating ice cream and watching Dukes of Hazzard reruns.
No, the all-year soldiers got to do something, so I got to fight against something each part of the year.
Yeah, it is just part of what you do. Speaking of things that people do, Ben, this week I took on an adventure that many Americans will do in their lifetime, but it's the first time I have ever had to. I now have a second job, Ben. Working a regular job just wasn't quite enough, and I have proceeded to get a second job. However, my second job is as a high-end cocktail bartender inside of a chicken and donut restaurant. You heard me correctly. Chicken and donuts. And I make $11 cocktails in said establishment. It's a fun job, and I work in a donut and chicken shack. Take that, America.
That sounds like your heaven.
It's really not bad. I was going to make that past tense. I have worse jobs. So it's not a bad gig. The problem, Ben, is that I am just not I'm not able to stay up late at night anymore and then get up early and, like, function properly. It has been a long time since I have needed that ability, and boy, this week was rough. I'm sure that my allergy attack wouldn't be even nearly as bad had I gotten some fucking sleep this week, but oof. It's been a rough week, Ben, but so I'm looking forward to it being a little bit easier as it goes on.
Yeah, it's one of those things your body's going to adjust to over time. So
yeah, there's also a cool mural of that girl you don't know.
Well, now I know who she is.
Yeah, I bet you do. I posted it on Twitter this week so everyone could see. It's pretty amazing. I'm not sure why you need it, but you know.
There you go, America.
There it is, America.
So Lou.
Yeah, Ben.
I have a bit of a lame but 2-minute rant I want to get out of the way.
Oh God, how lame.
It's kind of lame, but...
All right. Do you need all 2 minutes? Like, if it's super lame, can I cut you off?
Yeah, if you think it's super lame, but I'll probably need 2 minutes for this.
All right, let me know when you're ready.
I'm good to go. So
go ahead.
Whenever you're... All right. So, for those of you that know and or care, the band Blink-182 came back, what, 2009-ish, 2000, I think, whenever Travis Barker had that plane accident. And they decide to get back together, which is great because I like Blink-182. I think they're one of my favorite bands. And earlier this year, we had news of Tom DeLonge, the guitarist and lead singer, one of the lead singers, leaving the band or quitting the band or whatever. And there's been this whole stink about it. And people are like, oh, well, the band's not the same without Tom or whatever. And for the past two shows that they've played this week, and they're playing one tonight, they're playing with Matt Skiba of Alkaline Trio. And I absolutely fucking love Alkaline Trio. And a lot of people are still really mad and butthurt that, oh, well, Tom's not in the band. It's not, you know, Blink-182 anymore. And I'm just like, it doesn't matter because band members leave all the time, whether or not they're co-founders. And I think it's the band Boston. One of those bands from the 80s or 70s or whatever. I don't think there's any original members even in the band. So I think it's kind of ridiculous that people were up in arms that Skiba's replacing Tom for like two shows. They never even said he's the replacement of, you know, the permanent replacement, because Matt Skiba has his own things to do with Alkaline Trio and side projects that he has. So I think it's a little ridiculous that it's gotten this big and that people are making this much of a stink out of it, because, you know, there are worse problems in this world, and if your world ends with Tom DeLonge not being in Blink-182 anymore, I'm sorry, you've got some problems that you need to sort out, because let's be real here. I listened to some of the videos with Skiba playing with them that some people recorded this past week, and it sounded great. Skiba sounds so good with the band. You could tell that they're so much more energized than they were before. And, you know, maybe it'll be something that'll come in the future. I don't know. But either way, stop bitching about it.
You're right. That was super lame.
I know. But it's just something I want to get off my chest, because it's been kind of bugging me a little bit.
You're not the only one who likes Alkaline Trio, Ben. We all have a special place in our hearts for Alkaline Trio. It's interesting. I don't care enough about Blink-182 to... I don't even know which one Tom DeLonge is.
He was the guitarist.
That is still not helpful. I'm picturing two dudes. I know who Travis Barker is. Is he the one who is like, when he sings, is super whiny and sounds?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's like the first face that I think of, so.
Yeah, Mark has kind of like the deeper voice.
Okay. So. Fair enough. Well, Ben, it is your right as a co-host of this podcast to have a 2-minute rant, so. You've said your piece, no matter how frivolous and silly it may have been. Blink-182, I never thought I'd see the fucking day.
There's a lot of things on this podcast I never thought would see the light of day.
Which brings us to story number one. That one was almost too easy. The headline reads, Serbs urged not to throw grenades in garbage cans. Do I need to read more information? There is a problem in Serbia with people throwing their old household grenades into the garbage can. Then when the garbage is compacted, they are exploding and blowing up garbage trucks.
Yeah, that...
Good, that was a good response, Ben. That's how I feel about it.
because yeah. I typically don't think of, you know... hand grenades being something that I would just happen to have in my house and like, oh, I don't need this anymore. Let me just throw it away in the trash. No, that's not the way you dispose of explosives. You just don't throw it in the trash and have the trash guy be like, oh, I wonder what this is. Not the way that works.
Apparently there's all these grenades laying around that are left over from the Balkan Wars. And so people now are finding grenades and shit on their dog walks and just chucking them in the trash. What a country.
But the Balkan Wars were like 20-some years ago. How could there still be grenades splattered around everywhere? I mean, I think that the government would go in and try to find that, you know, as a safety hazard.
Maybe people were just chucking grenades like 800 feet into the sky and they were just embedding in the earth.
It's possible. I mean, the Interior Ministry of Serbia said this, quote, The Interior Ministry of Serbia appeals to all citizens who have had hand grenades and other explosive devices not to dispose of them in garbage containers in other places, end quote. Now, what other places means, I don't know, landfills?
Yeah, what is another, like, the ocean? A lake? Because what are we going to do if an army of fish emerges from a Serbian lake armed with grenades?
Dude, Aquaman.
Yeah, but Aquaman's not Russian that I know of.
Well, still, he's not going to have that shit.
And he doesn't have jurisdiction over lakes. I think Serbia is landlocked. I don't think they have an ocean.
Well, I'm sure they have some lakes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't do lakes. Aquaman is for the sea only. So unless there's a guy named Reservoir Comrade, I think we're kind of boned. I just think it's incredible that, like, people in those countries are still so afraid of, like, government repercussions that, like, they'd rather throw a grenade in the garbage than call someone to dispose of it properly. Like, it's actually really sad when you think about it. Like, they are more comfortable just throwing away a very explosive little ball than they are to call a police officer and say, I found a grenade. Perhaps you should remove it.
But the thing is, it's not illegal, at least yet, in Serbia to have the grenades. But it kind of is fascinating that, you know, in America, we have such a debate over the Second Amendment and whether or not you should be able to, you know, have guns or have this type of gun or have a background check or whatever. But in other countries, they can have grenades, which, I mean, let's face it. I mean, guns and grenades can both be very deadly, but a grenade, I mean, that can, you get several of those, that's going to make a major explosion somewhere. And it's people just having these, you know, in their houses. That's not really a problem here that I think of.
I envision a Russian woman, like, cracking open an egg to make a cake and realizing it's a grenade and just throwing it away and being like, how did this get in there?
17th time this week.
God damn it. Where are all the eggs? And how come there are so many grenades? Henry, we got another grenade! I don't think Russian people talk like that. I would like it if they did, but...
I don't think Russian people are also named Henry, but you never know.
They could be. Heinrich, something like that.
That's more German, I think, or Polish.
Yeah, they're in that same neighborhood.
Vladimir, Victor.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, we had a friend named Victor once.
We did. No, that ever happened, that son of a bitch.
He's probably dead from being associated with such a perverse and disgusting podcast.
You took the words right out of my mouth. The law for this in Serbia sets out a 5-year jail term for illegal possession of arms and provides stricter conditions to obtain a weapons license, because this is going to a law that Serbia's parliament recently adopted, where possession providing amnesty to anyone handing over illegal weweapons to the authorities before June 4th. They have, like, this thing going on. So basically, before June 4th, it's okay. After June 4th, you can't have this anymore. But still, the fact that there's almost like basically a 2.5-month period where it's okay to have grenades, still not okay.
Yeah, like you have a deadline for when it's cool to just have grenades around the house. Like, that is bizarre.
And the mosque got blown up today by hand grenade, but after June 4th, it's okay. It's not okay. Like, I mean, it's just like, I'm sorry, like, I support, you know, the Second Amendment in America, but I don't know what the Second Amendment translates to in Serbia, and if it's to have RPGs and grenades and God knows what else, probably not the best idea.
Well, I think that it's good to know that June 3rd will be Chuck Your Grenades Over the Border Day, so steer clear if you're in that area. I would just avoid it altogether.
Whatever country is south of them or wherever.
I was assuming Russia would be the most logical place to throw grenades at, but...
Or North Korea, either way.
Is Serbia close to North Koria?
Well, I mean, Serbia's in Russia.
Well, technically, it's its own country, but...
Actually, no, I think Serbia is more north, so no, I don't think it is near North Korea.
Yeah. I don't know.
Still,
I don't really give a crap. Just like our next guy.
Very nice.
That was pretty good. The headline reads, teenage cyclist hit by car told, quote, sorry, I can't stop. It would upset my kids, end quote. Taryn Steed, a 17-year-old bicyclist, was hit by a car. The mom inside the car told him that she could not stop because it was way too scary for her children. She got out of the car and looked him over. And she just told him that the kids were very upset and that she didn't want them to be late for school, so she drove off. And she just left this kid on the side of the road.
What I don't get is, she said she couldn't stop, but then she stopped.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make sense either.
This took place in Sheffield, England, and I find it funny that our first two stories don't have anything to do with Florida.
Right, thank God.
Which is amazing. Yeah. The kid is viably injured. He has blood on his face. He's bruised. He's probably not moving at this point. And you're more worried about getting your kids to school than the fact that you'd be charged with vehicular manslaughter. Seems logical, right?
I mean, is this so hard to believe, though? Like, truly, is this that hard to really believe could happen? Like, people today are just so full of themselves. Like, they don't really give a shit about other people. at all in any way, shape, or form. And this is a prime example of that.
I just... and plus, I mean, I feel like if there were people by, they would be able to describe the car or, you know, get the license plate or whatever. And fortunately, the kid wasn't seriously injured from this. He didn't have any life-threatening injuries. But it's just like, you see this happen. You know you hit somebody. It's not like you hit a raccoon, you hit, you know, an animal. Which even then, I mean, it's not great. But you hit a human being, and you're just like, oh well.
Like
this isn't Grand Theft Auto. You can't just hit people and just drive away.
Isn't it worse, like, to hit them and then not help them? Like, doesn't that teach your children a horrible, horrible message?
Yeah, because they're too, quote-unquote, scared? Exactly, Lou, you're right. I mean, what kind of morals does that teach your children? It's okay to make mistakes and not worry about it because you can just move on from it and not have to apologize. So if you run somebody over with your car, hey, man, it's no big deal. Like, no, that's not right at all. That's even a worse lesson than being late for school.
This is worse than if she would have just hit him and drove away. This is way worse. Because she stopped and took the time to tell him why she wasn't stopping, which means that she could have stopped and helped. She just is a coward and a bastard woman.
At the very least, she should have called, like, an ambulance. At the very least, if she still has to go in her way, just don't leave him there on the side of the road. I mean, I'm not condoning hitting and running, but...
Oh, I God, mean, here we go.
Don't even think about it. But in her case, with her flawed logic, if she's going to hit and run, you know, at least tend to the kid, make sure there's somebody coming to see him, just don't leave him potentially dying on the road, which he wasn't. But still, I mean, that's not the point here. The point is, you know, this isn't like, oh man, I accidentally bumped into somebody and spilled, like, you know, coffee on their shirt. This is, I ran somebody over with my car.
Look, I don't condone of hit and runs, but if I were to do one,
Jesus.
Just kidding. Sorry. I have nothing because, you know, I'm not a weird person.
Hey, man. I'm just saying. I look at both sides of the issue here, you know.
It's true, but oh, man.
I wonder how messed up his bike is, if it's even still a thing. Like, it hasn't been, like, completely dismantled by this point.
I don't know. I would imagine that it's probably not in great shape.
Yeah, fortunately, the kid was wearing a helmet, which, I mean, this is a lesson to motorcyclists out there and other bicyclists, wear a fucking helmet. Because if he didn't wear a helmet, he probably would be dead.
Yeah, don't, you know, kids, don't be silly. Wear your fucking helmet.
And staff members from, because this took place, I think, in front of Sheffield University. So they were the ones that called paramedics after they found the kid. And that they were horrified by what had happened to him, and that he's actually going to get his bike repaired for free. So, you know, hey, nothing like getting hit by a woman and getting a free bike repaired, right? No, that's not cool.
Yeah, I don't think that's cool. I hope they catch that bitch.
Yeah, because, you know... if her, God forbid, her kids be late for school again, and how many other people she's going to hit? What if she hits an old woman this time or something? You know?
Well...
Or here's an idea. Here's a better idea, Lou. Have better time management so that your kids aren't late for school.
That would be fair. I think that would be fair.
I mean, it only makes sense.
And I mean, the other thing, too, is if she would have hit an old person, it's kind of like, well, the children are our future. Old people are expendable. So... you know, this was a kid. He's our future. She probably should have not left him there to fucking die, bleeding in a gutter.
And you know what? What if 10 years from now this was her kid? You know? What if that one of her kids? She would want justice for whoever hit one of her kids.
Yeah, people like that don't think like that, though. The same person whose response to hitting a pedestrian is, oh, the kids are upset, I better just go, are the same people who, like, piss on poor people. Literally.
Well, I couldn't make the bathroom, but this is just as good. Like, no, it's not. And this woman, I don't know that she pisses on poor people, but she might as well.
I mean, she obviously does. She hit one with her bike, and it was more important to her than her shitty little kids. Rather than sitting down and having a conversation with your kids about how you made a mistake and you're only human, you just hit somebody and drove, like, you committed hit and run to calm your kids? I don't think that's how that works.
I mean, how do you think the conversation went in that car? Like, Mom, what just happened? Don't worry about it. It was nothing. You know, focus on, you know, your studies.
He's a stuntman. Like, it was just ketchup.
It was just ketchup. No, she's probably going to say, like, oh, it was one of those things where they jump out in front of you and they try to get money from you. You know, because, oh, you hit me now, so I want money from insurance.
I don't know. I just hope that one of her own kids turns her in.
Depends. I mean, it depends on how old they are, if they actually knew what was going on.
Oh, they were.
It'd be nice.
They were old enough, Ben. They were old enough. They were old enough to know to be upset that their mother may or may not have killed someone.
But, like, this one quote said, I'm just going to go into a little bit of it. I'm not going to take the entire thing. She said, I can't believe anyone would leave an injured child at the side of the road after a crash, but it was rush hour, and it would have been busy, so I'm hoping that witnesses come forward and help the police to trace the driver, end quote. So it's not only, you know, somebody you hit in the middle of the street, but it's during rush hour, so God forbid somebody else run him over.
Yeah, that would have been very sad.
But fortunately, that did not happen, and I just watch where you're going, and don't try to hit people.
And if you're an adult, please just start acting like an adult. Don't jump the gun and start acting rashly, like the person in our next story. Not so much person, but a school. The headline reads, Virginia school suspends an 11-year-old for 1 year over a leaf that wasn't marijuana. In fact, Ben, it was not a leaf. It was not a marijuana leaf at all. It was a Japanese maple leaf. The principal of Bedford Middle School in Virginia suspended a child for 1 year after she found something that looked like a marijuana leaf in his backpack. This little boy, he had to enroll in the district's alternative education program and be homeschooled. He was evaluated by a psychiatrist for substance abuse problems and charged with marijuana possession in juvenile court. In the months since September, he's become withdrawn, depressed, and he suffers from panic attacks. He's worried his life is over, according to his mother, and that he will never get into college. The problem is, the leaf that they found is not a marijuana leaf. It's actually a very sad story when you really think about it.
Because, Lou, I want you to just think about what you just read me and read everybody. And tell me that criminal law for marijuana is not ridiculous.
It's horribly ridiculous. What's even worse is that they ran that leaf three different times, and all three times they were like, it's not marijuana. And they were like, you better get to juvenile court, young man. They tested again. It's not marijuana. Oh, you better get into rehab as an 11-year-old. No wonder the kid's all fucked up.
They thought this was okay to do this to an 11-year-old. And regardless whether it would have been marijuana or not is kind of not the issue here. The issue is that this country is so goddamn rigorous on, you know, criminalizing people with marijuana that they will go to extremes, regardless of whether you're 33 or 11, to make sure that you do not touch that vile stuff or whatnot and blah, 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 blah. And yet all I hear about marijuana is how well it's helping, like, Colorado's economy.
Which is very true.
Not to mention, when you take the you know, cons and pros of marijuana compared to alcohol, which I've mentioned on the show many times before, the pros of marijuana vastly outweigh the pros of alcohol. Yet alcohol is legal.
You'll get no argument from me, Benjamin.
And it just, I mean, seriously, shame on this school district that put this kid through that, because, you know, okay, if you think it is marijuana, Okay, fine. That is fair, because look, first glance at something like that, you think, okay, well, maybe it is. But you test it, and it's not, you're like, okay, well, then it's not marijuana. Even if it was, isn't this a little much for an 11-year-old? What, I mean, wouldn't you think, like, oh, maybe, I don't know, maybe a 3-day suspension would suffice if they wanted to go to any kind of disciplinary action? Why go through, you know, juvie, you know, court and a psychiatrist and all this crap? I mean, you just traumatize the kid. What's the point of that?
Now, I'm not saying, Ben, I'm just saying, I've seen marijuana leaves in my time, and they don't look like that with that little boy head. They don't look like that. Like, I can see how you would think that if you knew absolutely 0% about marijuana, but the thing looks like a maple leaf to me that he found probably on the school playground, so they have it right there in their own backyard. Yeah, this is pretty frustrating.
He's a sixth grader. He's been allowed to return to his school, but he has to attend a different school now, which separates him not only from his friends and his peers, but he's also still under strict probation until September.
That kid is going to be a pothead for sure.
And it doesn't matter if it's a Japanese maple leaf, but if it's any leaf, apparently it looks like a pot leaf, whether it's okra, a tomato, a buckeye, etc., and they joke about it being marijuana, apparently that's grounds for expulsion inside of Virginia.
Which is lunacy.
I've heard cases of kids getting suspended for, you know, making, like, Pop-Tart guns or whatever, and they get suspended. And now they're finding leaves, and they're getting suspended. I'm just like, really? This country is going to worry about things like this?
Apparently so.
The kid probably doesn't even know. I mean, maybe, but he probably doesn't even know, A, what marijuana is, and B, what it even looks like if he's 11 years old. At least I would hope he doesn't. So why on earth would you think that this 11-year-old it has a marijuana leaf, which doesn't, according to Lou, doesn't even look like it? Because now you're just now you're just going off of what fear-mongering and scare tactics have taught you as a society, that, oh, this is bad, this is evil, we can't have this. But it's not the case at all, because it's not even marijuana.
Yeah, that's pretty depressing.
I mean, if I was a parent of this kid, I would just be absolutely, I don't know, I don't know if you could make a lawsuit out of this. I don't know that you could at all, based on apparently logic in the state of Virginia. And I say logic in air quotes.
I assumed.
But, yeah. But it's just like, it's mind-boggling that this is actually something that this country takes so seriously that they have to scrutinize every little bit of it and put 11-year-olds through trauma like this. There are scenarios they also in this article where kids would, you know, dump up pixie sticks and it looked like cocaine.
Yeah, man.
And
like that shit is fairly common. Like, kids see stuff on TV. Shit, they see that stuff on like Law and Order, which their parents probably let them watch. So, like, it wasn't a marijuana leaf. Once it wasn't a marijuana leaf, this all should have gone away. The problem that I have with it is that it didn't go away after that. They just kept pushing this kid farther down the rabbit hole. They were like, what's that? It's not marijuana? Oh, you better go to AA. What? It was marijuana. I don't know. It's a slippery slope, 11-year-old kid.
And the author of this article makes a good point. He says when he was younger, they only knew what cocaine was because of D.A.R.E.
Yeah.
And how many times has D.A.R.E. ever worked?
Never. That's why they stopped doing it. It was a terrible program. It just – all you did was a police officer with a goofy name came to your school. Ours was Officer Friendly. Would come to your school and pass around what drugs looked like, tell you that they were bad, and then would give you a quiz. All that did was just teach everyone what drugs looked like.
And which ones were which.
Yeah. I was, like, in the eighth grade, I'd already handled black tar heroin. Like, it's ridiculous. Why did you think that would work?
Why go to those preventive measures that you have to actually introduce what it is? If you don't ever tell them what it is, they're never going to know, regardless.
Yeah, I feel bad for this kid. And if I was parents, I would sue the living shit out of that school district.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I think it's the MAD, the Mothers Against Drunk Driving thing, that campaign. I think it was one of the people that started it or was a founder of it got arrested for drunk driving. And it's just like, then obviously these programs are ineffective and you're just kind of saying, here's what this is. Now don't do this. But the problem is you're showing them exactly what they shouldn't be doing. And what do people say? Rules are meant to be broken. And
I like to break the rules, Ben.
We're gonna have to suspend you from school then, Lou. Can't have you bring in Japanese maple leaves. Just can't have it.
Jesus, what is that?
It's my asshole neighbor who likes to rev his motorcycle.
Jesus, it sounds like an airplane is crashing into your neighborhood.
Yeah, it's my asshole neighbor. But
fuck,
that aside.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, tell me about it. I have to deal with it when the weather gets warmer. And it's just, oh. Like, right now, I don't even know why he's riding it, because it's a balmy 32 out. Well, so it's probably cold as hell riding that thing.
The man loves to ride. The man loves to ride.
Apparently so. It's just shame on the Bedford School District, though, because now he's gone. This boy has gone through so much unnecessary trauma through this, and it's gotten to the point where he's probably going to have crippling anxiety for a good portion of his life now. So, you know, shame on you, Bedford, for doing that to him. And now, apparently, they're going to have, once this kid comes back, they're also going to have mandatory pat-downs once his probation is over. And I'm just like, you're going to pat down these kids for drugs they don't even have?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work really well.
Oh, boy.
Since the principal doesn't know what marijuana looks like, I'm sure some flunky that couldn't pass the police academy is going to know exactly what to look for.
I mean, maybe this boy is just one example of what might happen to you if you do smoke marijuana at a young age. Maybe you end up in a coma. I don't know.
What?
Like in our next story.
Oh, weird. You confused me temporarily, but now I'm with you. Go ahead.
Headline reads, boy wakes up from coma, addicted to cheese and swearing. An English teenager picked up some bad habits after waking up from a 9-day coma, eating blocks of cheese and dropping F-bombs. Kai Thomas collapsed last June after a massive brain bleed. Doctors at Sheffield Children's Hospital performed a 6-hour surgery to release pressure on his brain. To aid his healing, he was then put into a medically induced coma, and after waking up, he could wishfully not talk or walk. So once he regained, over time, the power of speech and movement, his mom noticed quite a difference in him. He had strange compulsions. She began to notice that cheese was going missing from the fridge, and she was shocked by his foul mouth. He was screaming, quote, "Fuck, bitch, shit," and it's just, end quote, and it's just fucking hilarious.
I mean, when you're in a coma, you sort of, I imagine you just have a lot of time to yourself, and maybe he was like, you know what I haven't done enough of? Eating cheese and fucking spouting off my mouth. Bitch, twat, taint, cunt. Whoop, whoop. Give me some cheddar, motherfuckers.
His mom said, quote, he had always liked cheese, but now he was obsessed with it, end quote. So, is that a side effect to coma that I didn't know about, that you could just wake up and strangely be addicted to the state of Wisconsin?
Oh, good one. I mean, yeah, it's pretty hard to not get addicted. Cheese is, of course, the gateway drug to swearing.
Well, obviously, and, yeah, obviously it's what you eat once you smoke marijuana after being 11 years
right.
old.
You eat a big-ass wheel of cheese. I mean, I've heard that people who suffer serious brain injuries can have personality swings. So this isn't too bizarre. It's just interesting that, like, the two things he picked up were an adoration for some Limburger and a fucking sailor's mouth. It's just interesting.
She heard her son screaming these expletives from his room, and then when she went to go check on him, he was just eating this block of cheese like nothing was going on. And it's, I shouldn't laugh at it, but I do.
It's okay to laugh. He probably would let us laugh at it.
Now, obviously, he's mainly homeschooled now, which, I mean, would make sense because...
Yeah,
because
he's got fucking coma Tourette's.
He'd be in the middle of a class, and somebody would be like, okay, what's the answer to this? Fuck, bitch, cheddar! And that wouldn't answer, you know, what color was George Washington's white horse?
Was it fuck-colored?
Was it Swiss?
Yeah, probably. It was Gouda. It was a Gouda horse. Wow. That's how it feels, Ben. I'm not kidding when I do these to you. That's how it feels.
You know who's been doing more puns lately, and that's you.
Yeah, it's on purpose. It's what you get for years of, well, for a year of torture and abuse.
Jesus.
Did I not tell you this is the year of coming full circle? Now you're going to take on more of my responsibilities, which includes yelling at me for puns.
Oh, man.
Did you not get that memo?
No, I don't think I did. I don't know if I can take all this responsibility, Lou.
It's a lot of responsibility. Yelling at people is a full-time job, Ben. It's
like when you yelled at fake children.
Right. They deserved it. Let's be real. Just like some school employees from Virginia need some yelling. I just can't today due to vocular restrictions.
Is that a word?
It is now. It sounded right. I don't think it's a word, but it sounded right.
I mean, what this Australian team does because of a brain injury is what I imagine most Wisconsin sports fans do when their team is down.
Yeah, pretty much. You just eat a big block of cheese and just cuss into it. Fuck, this is good cheddar.
I mean, not to stereotype your neck of the woods.
But you're going to. Go on.
No, but I'm just saying that it's... Cheese is a main product of Wisconsin, and I'm certain when the Packers are down by a touchdown or two, or the Brewers are, well, let's face it, the Brewers.
Yeah, a good one.
Or the Bucks. Do people watch the Bucks? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I mean, from time to time, people will watch and care about the Bucks, but right now, no.
Okay, so whenever a Wisconsin sports team or the Badgers are down, I imagine that people would just start swearing as much as they can and grab that big old block of Gouda.
Yeah, nothing purges the pain of a Bucky Badger loss than eating a whole brick of cheese.
Well, you know what this kid reminds me of? Is a young Charlie Kelly. I mean, Charlie Kelly likes cheese.
It's true. Maybe this is his evolution into being the Rat King. Slowly, he's just going to start killing rats in his free time. Personal hygiene will go out the window.
Yeah, but... That house will be rat-free, and he can't complain about that. I mean, he set the cheese up as, like, a trap, and then he'd be eating it, though. He'd be eating
right, that's not going to work. It'd have to be something like peanut butter or something else that mice might be interested in.
Yeah, because, I mean, as we all know, the one life lesson you should keep with you till your grave is, you know, never get high on your own supply.
Well, I think that only applies to, like, drugs. Like, I think with cheese and cursing, you're probably fine to get high on your own supply. Unless you're a cheese dealer.
That's what I'm saying. This kid might be a future cheese dealer, too. We don't want to rule out any possibilities.
I mean,
here.
But it's not like that's an illegal industry, Ben. Cheese dealing is a sacred and time-honored tradition.
If you go to Virginia, there's probably some fucking law against cheese.
Well, you just can't put a Japanese maple inside your cheese. Otherwise, they'll be like, reefer!
Well, you know the pot brownie is all of pot stringo cheese.
Mm. Pot string cheese. That sounds delicious. Sidebar. Not related to this story, but something I thought of and I should have brought up at the beginning of the episode. So my aunt and uncle, for the first 3 months, so right after Christmas, they go down to Florida and they spend 3 months in Florida and then they come back. While they were down there this time, spring break was happening and they told me about this thing that they have there that's called beach court. So, like, when kids get stopped for having a fake ID or, like, they're not 21, they get taken to beach jail where they wait for beach court. And she was – and, like, she said it to me with, a serious look on her face, and I went, this is in Florida? And she goes, yeah. And I was like, beach court. She was like, yeah. And all I could think was, do I have to wear my formal flip-flops? But I just wanted everyone to know that the fact that Beach Court isn't already an NBC 30-minute sitcom that airs on Thursdays is deplorable.
Well, Lou, I think we have an idea now. We're going to roll with that. I mean, that Beach Court, really?
Beach Court, yeah. There's a judge, and you go up there, and it's like an actual court, and it's just on the beach.
That is such a fucking waste of time and money.
Florida.
Just throw their asses in jail.
Well, that's what happens if the judge rules that way. Or if your parents won't pay your bail. Do you know how embarrassing it would be to, like, call your parents and be like, Dad, I'm in beach jail. You're in what? Beach jail? Is this some sort of sex thing? No, Dad, I'm in beach jail. All right, you're obviously high. You're lucky it's spring break, otherwise I'd kill you. And then he hangs up. And then the kid has to go to jail because he's actually in beach jail.
I've never heard of that.
I also never heard of it, and I can't believe I almost forgot, because that's gold. That is an Emmy-winning comedy starring David Hasselhoff as the judge.
He's still alive?
Fuck yeah, Hasselhoff is still alive.
I don't know, I figured he just
passed out. If you ran that many times through the sandy beaches, you've got an extra 10 to 15 years of life, for sure. He was running on beaches so much for years and years and years.
I just figured his alcohol charades had just left him unconscious.
Well, and that'll happen one of these days.
Maybe. I forgot David Hasselhoff was actually a thing at one point in time.
Yeah.
I just know my mom really hates him. I don't know why.
Your mom hates him? Why?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know why.
That's a really weird person to hate. Germans love David Hasselhoff.
Oh yeah, it's a Hasselhoff.
Yeah, they love Hasselhoff in Germany. That's really weird. Anyway, sorry about that sidebar. I guess we're done.
No,
I guess we're done with that story. You know, the kid loves cheese and he loves cursing, but let's get to the reason we're all here, Ben.
Tell me more, Lou.
It's our final story, and it's something that I can't believe we are fortunate enough to be able to cover on this show, because I think it's going to spark some really incredible conversations. We're also going to do a little vague interviewing with Ben. And then I'm also going to find out what Ben would do in the situation. I already know what I would do. Here's the deal. The headline reads, "Man's girlfriend and ex-girlfriend jump into the river to see who he'll rescue." This actually happened. A confused boyfriend was faced with a tricky choice after both his ex and current girlfriend threw themselves into a river to see who he would rescue. His name is Wu Xia. He had broken up with his long-term girlfriend, Jun Tang, after meeting his new love, Rong Sao, in Ningbo City in the East Chinese Zhejiang province. God, I'm so good at Chinese. But over the following 3 months, jilted Jun kept hassling him to get back with her and pressuring Rong to leave him. Eventually, Wu decided to arrange a meeting between the three of them at a nearby park next to a river. He said that he was sick of being nagged by both of them. And basically, he got confused. So they both jumped in the river. Ben, why don't you tell us what happened next?
So they jump to the river, and the situation, as it said, went from bad to worse. The girls began arguing, and then June flipped off and jumped off the bridge into the water. She was calling for help, but then Ron also went into the water. So the guy is just standing there like, well, fuck. So he's like, I have to do something. So he jumps in and saves Rong. And Wu phoned his brother to rescue his ex before taking her home. And it's like, this is so China.
Yeah.
It really is.
Hey, Ben, would you say that sometimes the best choice is the wrong choice?
Yes.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't. No one would say that. Well, Ben, this is a great story. Before we play the vague interview game, I would love to just ask you what you would do in this situation.
What I would do? Well, I would save them and then never talk to either one of them again because they are fucking crazy.
Sure. My answer is similar as far as the explanation, but also the exact opposite. I would literally just walk away. My ex-girlfriend and girlfriend are way too close, and that is not going to work for me. I would literally just walk away and be like, well, oh, that made that easy.
Yeah, but it's like hitting a kid with your car situation. You know they're in danger.
Well, they shouldn't have fucking jumped in the river. That was a terrible idea. I didn't make that decision for them.
Yeah, but
If they are both so crazy as to think that this is somehow going to prove my love for one of them, fuck them. I don't need either of them.
Well, yeah.
Okay, bye.
I definitely would leave after they were rescued.
I would maybe throw them, like, arm floaties if I had them. I probably wouldn't have them, though, so they're still dicked.
Fortunately, the girls were able to go to the hospital without any major injuries. Just fascinating, hilarious, but I don't know. I'm running out of things to say about this story. Because
no, there's just plenty to say about it. Let's have a vague interview. Sir, you jumped in and saved your current girlfriend. What was the reason behind that choice?
Well, she was newer, and I'm dating her.
Sure. So you decided that the grass was greener on the other side after all.
Well, I mean, grass is green no matter where you look at it, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you worried about scorning your ex-girlfriend?
No. I mean, bad things happen, yeah, but, you know, that's basically it. Bad things are going to happen regardless.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you could do it all over again, and it was your current girlfriend or Halle Berry, which one do you save?
A woman, you know.
But they're both women. Halle Berry is a woman.
Yeah, I know, but just the one woman, you know which one I'm talking about.
I do not. Could you give me like a hair color, something to identify?
Yeah, it's a darker hair color.
Okay, all right, I see where this is going. All right, so last question, and we'll let you go. When you did jump into the water, was there ever a moment where you thought, maybe I'm not making the right decision?
I mean, like I said, bad things happen, and the water was wet, and it was very cold. So I thought maybe this was bad, and I had to save the women, and so I had to make a bad situation better.
Well, you heard it here, folks. The water was wet and cold, and he had to make a decision. Jesus, Ben, how are you so good at literally being the most vague, nonsensical person ever? It's some sort of bizarre gift you have that I don't think you've ever truly fathomed. That was so vague and nonsensical, I can't even believe that it happened again.
Hey, I'm just doing what I can here, man.
Jesus. That was awfully vague. But yeah, I mean, so here's the lesson for you, fellas. If you are dating a girl and she's really, close with your ex-girlfriend, they're probably plotting for one of them to jump into a river. It's a safe bet.
It's a trap all around. Do not fall into it.
Yeah, this is like the penultimate lady trick. This is a lady trick that is so devious and cunning that it should be illegal for women to be able to do this. Like, there should be some sort of legal precedent for women trying to fucking entrap men that they're fighting over. Because that is just not fair. It would have been awesome if there was, like, a fucking license plate floating on the surface of the water and he, like, went past both of them and grabbed the license plate. Or like the rum ham from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. There's just a ham floating in the river and he jumps out and gets it. Like, because both of these women are fucking insane and neither one of them deserved to be saved. Like, the girlfriend didn't deserve to be saved either because she went along with this nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, at what point in her mind would she think, oh, well, obviously, you know, I need to show how crazy I am and jump in it with her. I mean, regardless of relationships, it's still a person. I don't know if she was drowning, because I don't know how deep the water is. But at some point, you put that aside and you have to put in your humanity and be like, well, I have to save them regardless of who they are, unless it's somebody really evil. Which I don't think this girlfriend's evil. She's just crazy. Or ex-girlfriend, I should say.
You know how that song goes, Ben. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right.
And obviously this man did not make the smart decision, and he decided to stay with his girlfriend. But Lou and I would have been like, see ya.
Yeah, there's no way I would have been like, oh, you know, we can probably fix this. I would have been like, you're a monster. I really would prefer it if you left me the fuck alone forever. Just go away.
Well, that's the thing, is what if he's now manipulative and he realizes that now she'll do anything for him?
Yeah,
that could be a really bad situation.
Come on, Ben. Chinese people aren't like that. They're simple and innocent.
That's why they jump into rivers?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. We literally were just talking about that, weren't we? Well, you've swayed me. I just think that it's funny that, like, they plan this together, and in both of their minds, simultaneously, they were like, oh, this is so going to work, and you are going to be so embarrassed. Like, they both thought that the other one was going to be humiliated. Like, that's the funny part, is that women are sort of like that. They're very manipulative and, I want to say catty, but that's not really the word I'm looking for. Like, they both went into this knowing that one of them was going to be the supreme victor. But, like, neither one of their egos would allow them to think that they were the one that was going to lose. So they were like, we'll just jump in the river. He'll make the right choice. But instead he made wrong the choice.
He made the wrong.
Yeah.
That will never not be funny.
Mm-mm. It's because her name is actually Wrong. Nobody ever told her it's the wrong way. You're welcome for your daily Sublime reference, everybody. I will be here all week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Between Sublime and these puns, you're killing me.
Yep. It's not fun, is it, Ben? The year of the tables being turned is going really well for me so far.
It's the wrong year.
It's the wrong... Oh, good one. It's the wrong year for this. You know what? I think I might be in love with Wrong, too. I've been in love with so many Wrongs in my life.
That you don't want to be right?
It's too hard to be right once you've been wrong so many times, Ben.
You heard it here, folks. Wise words from Lou.
They happen once every 35 to 40 episodes.
So this is like maybe the second time it's happened.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. Our friend Don Pitch keeps track of these sorts of things. He'll be able to notate and let me know later. Sometime this week he'll let me know. He'll be like, that is, in fact, the second smartest thing you've said. And then I'll be able to move on with my life.
So, Don, we're counting on you.
Yeah, he'll be there.
So, you can find us on Facebook, The News Chew with Ben and Lou. You can find us on Twitter, at The News Chew. You can also find our sponsor, Porcupine Cookies, which are not a wrong choice.
Nice.
On Facebook and Twitter. And Lou, how about you take us out for this week?
You're wrong about Limburger, you fucking fuck.